Good morning, Alice.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thanks very much for joining me. Now, kicking things off, can you unpack just what is China's One Belt, One Road initiative?
Well, the One Belt bit refers to a series of overland linkages with high-speed rail and freight rail and large highway projects linking China into Europe, linking China into West Asia, and linking China down into Indochina and down in the Mekong River route. And the road part is actually the ocean part. It's the Maritime Silk Road, which is a series of ports and ocean routes linking China through to Ceylon, Sri Lanka, and the eastern part of Africa, and to Europe through the Middle East.
Right. So it is a very, very big endeavour. Now, Australia's only just expressed real interest in getting involved with this initiative. Why would it be so important for Australia to be a part of it?
Well, I don't think that you can say we've suddenly noticed it or suddenly jumped on board. Because we haven't suddenly just noticed it. Xi Jinping, ever since he came to power in 2012, has been negotiating a series of large port and road projects, and Chinese interests have invested in Australian ports. There's a major Chinese interest in northern ports in Australia and in land in Australia. And so Australia's been aware of these, and it's just sort of gradually come together this series of projects that's been going on now for about 5 years or more, has sort of come together and has now got a slogan attached to it. So it's more the slogan being attached to it, One Belt, One Road, that is what brought things to people's attention.
Mm. In the wake of that, what sort of benefits will Australia find from getting involved?
Well, Australia has a developing economy that's developing into the services sector, and we have very good advanced environmental and engineering services, as well as financial services and legal services. And they are particularly useful in this sort of large international infrastructure series of projects where you need to link financial and legal services together, and you need good engineering services and good environmental assessment procedures to ensure that the impact of these projects are not too harmful.
If you've just tuned into The Daily, we're speaking right now with Dr. Alice de Jong, Senior Lecturer in International and Asian Business Law at Monash University, about China's massive One Belt, One Road trading initiative. Now, Alice, you mentioned just how big the initiative is. It spans a lot of areas. What sort of goods and resources will be traded using the One Belt, One Road, or through the One Belt, One Road?
Oh, well, every good and resource that you can think of, from consumer goods to construction goods through to, I think Australia's future in the region will be in providing services in the services sector, educational, financial, and engineering in particular.
Mm. Australia has started to become involved with the initiative now under this new title. Now, are there any risks or challenges down the line of Australia associating with or getting involved with the OBOR?
Well, I think being subject to any single other economy is always something that we are cautious of. But I think the main thing is that we need to be very careful about the projects we get involved in and the environmental and socially disruptive impacts that they might have. Those impacts have already brought around civil unrest in Sri Lanka and other parts of South Asia. And so we need to be very careful we don't get tangled up in that sort of social and environmental disruption. And also we need to make sure we don't get caught up in financial risks that are of various sorts that could be lurking.
Mm. Finally, one last question for you, Alice. Now, this as you mentioned, it sort of does mirror the Silk Road. What comparisons can be made between the One Belt, One Road initiative and the historical Silk Road trading route?
Well, the belt part, which goes along what is alleged to be the ancient ancient Silk Road route from China into the Middle East, where camel trains and traders would come up or bring goods from the Middle East and from China into the Middle East. So that's allegedly the historical route of the land type projects that are foreseen. But that's sort of more of an attempt to hark back to something that history has a resonance with people in terms of publicity, I think. That is more of a resonance than a reality in some aspects.
Well, it's certainly a big legacy to capitalise on. Alice, thanks so much for joining me this morning to unpack a little bit about what's been going on. Yeah, cheers.